After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Chappelle Show. Chappelle Show.
Chappelle Show.
Chappelle Show.
Chappelle Show.
Oh! Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Yeah, yeah. Let's start the show.
From the start, viewers love Chappelle's outrageous takes on race, culture, sex, and politics.
It's me.
What?
It's me, Little John.
Okay!
Chappelle's show put Comedy Central on the map.
Chappelle's show. Chappelle's show.
Sometimes the endless pursuit of crack leaves me tired and depleted. But now cocaine comes in a delicious shake. Red Balls!
I mean, before, you know, it was like this. It was like, oh, yeah, that's where they have South Park. But, you know, this broadened their appeal. I mean, like, it opened up their doors for lots of younger viewers to tune in.
It really cemented their reputation as the home for edgy, young, yet sophisticated sketch shows and humor.
And it seemed that everywhere you went, you heard young people repeating lines and catchphrases they'd heard on Chappelle's show.
Welcome, one and all, to After School Special Podcast. Today, we have an episode for you. We hope to do him justice. Today, we are talking about the Chappelle Show. Gents, real quick, before we get into it, first memories coming up right now. For me, when I saw this, I had already known about Half-Baked. I didn't know Dave Chappelle was a stand-up comedian, but automatically I knew I was going to love it. So what about you guys?
In 2002, I saw a movie with Chappelle in it, and it was called Undercover Brother with Eddie Griffin and Chris Kattan. And he played...
Conspiracy Brother?
Yes, he played Conspiracy Brother.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about the word good, brother. Good is an ancient Anglo-Saxon word. Goah, meaning the absence of color, i.e. it's all good, which it is, or Goodwill Hunting, meaning... I'm hunting n****s. So if you say good morning to me, the only thing you're saying is, I'm going to kill your black ass first thing in the morning.
And he stood out immediately to me because even though he wasn't really in the movie a lot, but every time he was on screen, he was hilarious. So that was like the definitive time that I saw him. And then years before that, and I didn't make that connection, he was in The Nutty Professor. He was the comedian that was giving the main character shit.
I always forget that, too. Did he have, like, some weird, like, I can't remember what his hair. Flat top?
Yeah, shit locks. Yeah,
shit locks. Oh, okay.
Like, right on the top of his head. The rest of his head was bald, but they were right in the middle of his head. And that's when Eddie was like, yeah, who told you to grow them shit locks? Go take that shit off your head, man. You just too crazy. Like, that's what it was.
And he had a crazy-ass hat, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that hat, and he had his pants, like, sagging, like, super low. With the boxers showing.
Yes.
So it was really funny. I do remember him. My first experience was Robin Hood Men in Tights. Hey.
Achoo!
Bless you!
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember that because he was getting his ass beat and he's like, I need some air. And he started pumping up his Reeboks. And his name in there was Achoo. And every time he would say that, he'd be like, God bless you. He's like, no, that's my name, Achoo. So his father was played by
Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
R.I.P. though. Yeah. Well, let's get into it real quick. We're going to start the beginnings of how Chappelle's show kind of came to be, the void that it filled at the time, specifically for sketch comedy. So this is from TV Insider. When the Chappelle show debuted at Comedy Central, I think it was about 20 years ago, on January 22nd, 2003, nobody knew who Dave Chappelle was outside of the few brief appearances, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Con Air, Nutty Professor, Blue Streak. Most mainstream audiences didn't associate him with the stand-up, just like myself, despite his very first special, Killing Them Softly, which I didn't watch until like 2010.
Sesame Street teaches kids other things. It teaches kids how to judge people and label people. That's right.
They got a character on there named Oscar. They treat this guy like shit the entire show. They judge him right in his face. Oscar, you are so mean. Isn't it, kids? Yeah, Oscar. You're a grouch. It's like, bitch, I live in a trash can. I'm the poorest motherfucker on Sesame Street. Nobody's helping me.
I watched it as soon as I got through with this first season of Chappelle's Show. I wanted to consume everything Dave Chappelle, like every like stand-up thing he ever did. And yeah, I watched it in like 2004 after the end of the first season. But yeah, damn, 2000, you said 10?
2010, because I wasn't into stand-up. Like I was, like I told you guys before, it was most like sketch comedy, Saturday Night Live, Kids in the Hall, Mad TV. I just didn't really like to sit around and just watch someone kind of spit stuff off. But Dave Chappelle for me was my all-time favorite stand-up comedian. I think maybe next to Bill Burr. I really like Bill Burr, who was also a part of Chappelle's Show.
Yes.
But I never got into stand-up. Specifically, I think the 80s and 90s stand-up was just garbage to me. Sam Kinison's, everyone would be like, oh, he's a forefather. I'm like, I don't care. I don't like him.
Oh, doing the, really? I'm surprised.
Just screaming.
Yeah, Sam Kinison. I would have thought you got into Sam Kinison.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't like the yelling. I didn't like the yelling.
You guys weren't like the type of kids that any obnoxious loud noise would make you laugh. I think I was that kid.
I was a Chris Farley guy to an extent, and that was about it. I couldn't really do anything else. His movements, and also probably just because he was a big fat, and then along with like John Candy. John Candy wasn't like that. But Second City TV, I watched that too. I was more into sketch comedy. So when I saw this, I'm like, oh, cool, another sketch comedy. And like, I've seen Half Baked. This is going to be awesome. So to get back into it, Killing Them Softly in 2000 and sketch comedy series like SNL and its edgier cousin Mad TV were reaching a lull as audience entered the new millennium. In reality, the group that was coming out, and I don't know if that was Will Ferrell at the time. I know Mad TV, I was done with that. Once Will Sasso, I think, kind of curtailed and left. Even the beginnings, like it was the Will Sasso and Bobby Lee era where I was like, okay, this is great. And then after a while, I just kind of got tired of it, stopped watching it. And then we had Chappelle's Show in 2003. By 2002, according to Britannica, Chappelle's career pattern was taking small roles in Hollywood projects while continuing to perform stand-up. Despite making the film with Half Baked, which is an amazing movie if you haven't seen it, the offbeat marijuana theme comedy that he wrote with his longtime writing partner, Neil Brennan, and in which he starred and released in 1998. It wasn't a huge box office. I remember him talking about this in regards to it, just no one watched it.
But it was really inspired, Half Baked. I liked smoking weed so much that I thought I should make a movie about this. And it was inspired, man. It was like, you know, it was inspired. When that script came out, Me and Neil, we were hot as a pistol for a week. The script was way better than the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that script was dope.
But it's a cult classic now. And all the memes that are created out of this, it's more of a success than it ever was.
Well, Chappelle himself said it wasn't exactly what he wanted, because he said the studio did things that it took away from what he and Neil wrote. And it wasn't as funny as he wanted it to be.
So although the film later developed, what I was saying, a cult following, it didn't do what I think Chappelle wanted it to do. Hugh Hefner actually inspired Dave Chappelle to create the show. I didn't know that. One night, Dave Chappelle watched a special on Playboy publisher Hugh Hefner that was designed to resemble one of Hefner's Playboy parties. The host of the party interviewed musicians and comedians who would then perform for Hef, some Playboy bunnies and other guests on Inside the Actor's Studio. Chappelle told James Lipton that he was weirdly inspired by it and called his Half-Baked co-writer Neil Brennan to talk about it. This is a quote from Chappelle. We started talking about the variety shows. We wanted to do something that was real personal, which led to the creation of the Chappelle Show. Chappelle and Brennan learned how to write the show by reading a book about Saturday Night Live. The two read Live from New York, the complete uncensored history of Saturday Night Live as told by its stars, writers, and guests. The oral history of the iconic sketch show compiled by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales. Before shooting the pilot and writing sketches for the first season of Chappelle's Show, Brennan said the book was really informative and really helpful to them. I would assume so, because Saturday Night Live, they've been doing it, what, since 1970-something? I guess originally HBO passed on the show. They would have Kids in the Hall, but they didn't want to have the Chappelle Show, which was extremely weird to me. The fact that Kids in the Hall also has a cult following, but I think that that was the audience for HBO, Def Comedy Jam. It made more sense than I think Kids in the Hall did for HBO.
Yeah.
And not everyone was immediately sold on the concept. Brennan said, we pitched to HBO and they looked at us like we were lepers. Eventually, Chappelle signed a deal with Comedy Central and Viacom and the network's parent company, and the contract granted them the rights to the show and likeness, which I think ends up biting them in the ass, correct?
Yeah. It's weird, too, because he did a comedy special with HBO in 2000, Killing Them Softly, so you would think it would have went seamless that he would have a show like that. SNL debuted October
11th, 1975. Oh, damn, so close.
Okay. Yeah, so close.
Development of Chappelle's Show. The series premiered on January 22nd, 2003. Chappelle, Brennan, and Michelle Armour were the show's executive producers. Did you know Nick Kroll wrote for the show for a little bit?
No.
There's like episodes he did. No. Haters Ball. Haters Ball, which is one of my favorite episodes.
That is my favorite one, yeah.
The series premiered on January 22nd, 2003. Chappelle, Brennan, and Michelle Armour were the show's executive producers. The show opened with Chappelle being introduced over the instrumental from the song Hip Hop from the albums Let's Get Free by Dead Presidents. Or is that Prez? Is that an abbreviation?
Dead Prez. You never heard of, you heard of Dead Prez?
No, I've never heard of Dead Prez.
This is the very first episode. I finally got my own show. And I mean, I'm serious. When I say this is my show, this is my show.
So the main cast of Chappelle's Show starting up was Dave Chappelle, Charlie Murphy, Donnell Rawlings, Paul Mooney. Also, people that appeared, Bill Burr. Well, there was like a ton of guest stars that came in all the time, too. But for me, the person that I remember the most. Yeah, Wayne Brady.
That's Wayne Brady.
Yep. But the person that stuck out, like, that's the first time I ever saw Bill Burr. That's the first time I ever saw Paul Mooney.
If you don't know Paul Mooney, he was a writer for Richard Pryor for many years, and some say one of the best comedians working today. Well, one thing's for damn sure, he's an unofficial sociologist. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Ask a Black Dude.
I didn't know how deep into the comedy scene Paul Mooney was.
Me neither.
I had no idea.
Yeah, because he had been around with Pryor.
He wrote for Richard Pryor, and they both wrote for Sanford and Son.
Oh, okay. And then he starred in, I was going to say this. I want to make sure it's cool that I say it. Nigrodamus.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's.
Phew, you're safe.
Oh, I was sweating. But there was that one. And then what was the other one? It was Paul Mooney.
Ask a Black Guy.
Yeah, Ask a Black Guy, which was the first season. And then second season, it was Nigrodamus.
Yes.
Which I thought was hilarious.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
So the first season starts. So what was your memories in general of first seeing the show? Because for me, when I first saw it, belly laughs. I don't think I've ever laughed that hard. I don't even think I've laughed that hard since. Like, yeah. I think as you get older, you know, life beats you into submission and just f-ing eviscerates you. We're teenagers then. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I enjoy watching Chappelle because this was time that I spent with my dad. Like, my dad and I would watch it. We really enjoyed it. Like, when my dad laughed, you couldn't help but laugh because that's just the kind of laugh he had, like to the point where he would start tearing up. And that's what Chappelle could bring out in you in some of these skits, like the Player Haters Ball, the STD puppets. I really like that one.
Well, Don, what about you seeing it for the first time, your memories?
Oh, man. So the first time, like a lot of things, my brother introduced me to this. And it was the first time I was living on my own in college, got cable. And my brother said, look, man, you're going to have to watch this show. It's the Chappelle Show. You'll like it. And not only you'll like it, he has like musical guests at the end that I know you'll like. My brother and I, at that point, it was Martin. It was the last time we bonded on the show. But it was finally at the age where we were both old enough to like find like some of the humor funny at the same time. Because a lot of the times when I was a kid, he was just into stuff that I just didn't think was funny because it was just too mature for me. But now, 19, 20 years old, he said, yeah, watch the show. I watched the shit and it was hilarious. But I kind of like put it off to the side because I was just still into other stuff. It wasn't until I went to Houston that year, like 2003, 2004, where my cousin was playing all the Chappelle shows because he like downloaded it from like Kaza or some shit. So we were just watching that shit nonstop on the computer. And man, that's when I got hooked. That was the first time I binged the show. I didn't know what binging meant. There was no term for it. But that's when everybody was downloading.
Oh, yeah, man.
So if it wasn't music or porn, you were downloading shows or movies.
Yeah,
and my cousin, he downloaded Chappelle's Show. And we didn't go anywhere. And we went from like early afternoon to late at night, just binge watching season one. And that's another thing that I look back on. It's like, wow, yeah, Chappelle's Show was one of those shows where it went viral and we didn't even know what that meant. Like, it was one of the first things that, even though probably through illegal means, like the internet and downloading it.
Yeah.
It
shout out Kaza, Napster, f- you, Lars Ulrich, you f***ing troll of a man.
Yes, Kaza, Morpheus, Napster. All those.
I shout out Pirate Ship. That's what I use.
Pirate Bay. Pirate Bay.
Yeah, Pirate Bay. Yep.
Yes, torrents. Oh, man. Yep. So many viruses on my computer trying to download some damn Chappelle. But I think
I'm sure that's what you were downloading was just Chappelle.
Yeah. I was downloading Chappelle.
Yeah.
And
Janet Jack Me.
Chappelle. We'll call it Chappelle. So
Janet Jack Me.
Chappelle. I tell you what's funny, man. I was downloading Chappelle once and the freaking computer froze and Barack Obama's face showed up and said, you are wanted by the United States government for downloading Chappelle. I was like, oh, no. I threw my computer like a grenade. I was like, no.
Man, so many bad instances where my computer just froze and the sweat just dripping down my face like, no.
Yeah, yeah. We had $500 to unlock your computer. I was like, this isn't real.
So I don't know about you guys, if you had your own personal computer. We had a family computer, and it was in the living room. So there would be times where I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd walk down, and I won't say which brother it was, but I would see a brother come down and be like, hey, what are you doing? Nothing, go to bed. Just cover themselves up real quick. I'm like, come on, man. We all use that. Print off like a really crappy picture of it and put it in your porn safe, right? Because everyone has a porn safe, right?
Your little stashy stash.
I think everyone had a stash.
A little
My
stash.
Mom found mine after I moved out. She found mine. It sucked because I went back to look for it.
Yeah, I think the internet, and it was like the last show that I could recall, especially season one, where a lot of the success was built on word of mouth. Like, every time we would come to class, every time I was on a bus from school and from home, I would just hear people talk about the show. And it was like one of the last things that I can remember. Like, yeah, man, I didn't really learn about it from commercials or anything like that. It was just people were talking about it so much that you just had to tune in. One of the last things that I can remember that was appointment television. Like, I would go to my friend E's house to watch a new episode so we can both laugh and talk about it. And that was special about season one, which opened with the infamous skit that we all know about, the black racist. His name is Clayton Bixby.
Clayton Bixby.
I don't know how the hell he got away with this shit.
So I still haven't been canceled yet, but I'm working on it. And I think this next piece might be the one to do it. This is probably the wildest thing I've ever done in my career. And I showed it to a black friend of mine. He looked at me like I had set black people back with a comedy sketch.
Even for Comedy Central Cable, certain things in the first episode lets you know exactly what his show was going to be about. I give him a lot of credit. It sets the tone of what will become the most famous show on Comedy Central.
Where would I start? Well, first of all, they're lazy, good-for-nothing tricksters, crack-smoking swindlers, big butt-having, wide-nose, breathing all the white man's air. They eat up all the chicken. They think they're the best dancers, and they stink. Did I mention that before?
Yes, I believe you did, sir.
And that really, like, put his name out there, having him play that black racist. And, man, that shit was a classic. I remember laughing so hard about that shit.
Dude, we died. I remember when he was yelling at the white boys, like, hey, you N-words.
Hey, why don't you jungle buddy turn that music down? Make me sick. Boogie boogie. Boogie boogie.
Did he just call us? Awesome.
Turn that music down. And they looked at each other. He's like, hell yeah. And when he finally revealed himself, like, they took the Klan hood off and that one white dude is
Neil Brennan.
He was just like,
that was Neil Brennan.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, show us your face, Clayton. Show us your face, brother.
Face. We want to see your face.
Yeah. Who said that? You want to see my face?
Clayton, go on, brother.
Do you want to see my face? Don't be afraid, Jason.
He's like, you want to see my face? Right. When he takes off the Ku Klux Klan hood, the camera zooms in.
The guy that's like his handler, he's like, it's too important to the movement.
Yeah, it's too important.
He's like, why haven't you told him? Too important to the movement.
But yeah, the segment was called Frontline. I remember that.
And, Frontline,
Oh my God. And that episode, like you said, it starts out with that lady in that car commercial.
In the car.
Yeah. Also in that first episode is the pop copy sketch where it was that training video of the pop copy store.
Hello, I'm Ralph Henderson. And if you're watching this video, that means you've just been hired to work here at Popular Copy. Me and my friends are going to show you the basics of what it's like to work here. You guys ready?
Yeah!
Great.
Getting to work.
First of all, never show up on time. And if a supervisor happens to ask you where you were, your response should sound something like this. Manuel, why were you late?
Man, I got here when I could. Shit, you're not my mom's.
Perfect.
It's so many episodes are quotable.
You know, a lot of people ask why. Why treat the customer this way? Why? Because that's why.
The other one I liked was when he's doing Miss Cleo and he's like, talking to this girl, and she's like, I don't understand how I'm not able to meet any guys. I'm only meeting black guys. He's like, you're fat, ain't you? She's like, yeah. Like, you must be white. And she's like, yeah, how'd you know?
Because a brother can't get enough of that ass.
Because a brother wants to hit that ass.
Can't get enough of that ass. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I was like, he's not wrong. Like, it's so true.
Well, I was going to say, guys, what was your favorite episode of season one? Mine, and I think a lot of us have the same one, but mine was the Player Haters Ball.
Any of you guys watch those documentaries on HBO, those Hookers and Johns? Did anybody see that one, Pimps Up, Hoes Down? I just seen their new one, and I got an advanced copy on it. You're going to love it.
But some of the stuff, there were a lot of quotes in there, but I don't know, every single thing that was coming out of all their mouths was just absolutely hilarious. One of the quotes in it was Charlie Murphy's in that one, and Dave Chappelle's character is saying, Buck Nasty.
What can I say about this suit that hasn't already been said about Afghanistan? It looks bombed out and depleted.
Yes. Look bombed up and defeated.
I hate you. I don't even know you, but I hate you. I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things happen to you in life and only to you.
the way him and Patrice O'Neal played off each other,
oh,
it sucks
my
because
God.
Patrice O'Neal was a fantastic comedian, and we lost him way too soon.
And a lot of that really stuff good. In that sketch was improvised, too.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And if you see the bloopers from that, because in the bloopers, Patrice O'Neal was like, all these bitches look like they came out the Skittle box. Like, that's what he tells Chappelle. And Chappelle's like, I would talk about your bitches, but it looked like you ate them. And they just fell out laughing, dude. And then...
I was going to say, the when they're introducing the characters, because it's Chappelle's character is Silky Johnson, Buck Silky Nasty Johnson. Is Charlie Murphy, and...
The so-called Beautiful. Beautiful was...
Donnell Rollins. And then...
Mr. Roboto was the Korean guy.
I'm top player hater from Korea. You bitches better recognize.
I think.
Patrice O'Neal was Pitbull. And in the quote, it says, most likely to gain weight and die.
Oh, damn.
I remember he was like, man, you need to comb out that coat. And he was like, yo.
And as for you, Bulge Hulk, very insulting what you said about my coat. It's made out of your mother's pubic hair. Quite shitty.
That had to have been my favorite episode.
Yeah.
Out of the first season. When it comes to the internet, yeah, there was like torrenting and all that stuff. But yeah. This is going to actually be a two-parter. Going into yeah. the second season, I think the internet had more of a hold on that, specifically for the Rick James
hell
stuff.
Yeah.
What was your guys' favorite episode?
I was only going to add a little bit something to that Play a Hater's Ball sketch, because that was a parody, right, of that HBO documentary about the pimps.
Pimps in America. Yeah.
Pimps Up, Hoes Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was the documentary which Ice-T was in, and then he plays himself in the parody. That shit was hilarious.
Hate.
Oh man, hate.
Ice-T was always well known to be a rapper, and then later on Law and Order. So I think at that time he was already on Law and Order, but I think that kind of even gave him. New comedic life, Ice-T being funny.
Ice-T, when he's, I think it's Patrice O'Neal says something to him. And it's like,
man, you corny. You corny.
But what did Ice-T say? It's like, next,
say something while I'm talking is getting shot. Please believe that.
I believed him too. I was like, yep.
Charlie Murphy's in that one too, but Donald Rollins from the crowd when Ice-T was on stage, he was like,
winner of the 9th annual Player Hater of the Year award is.
Look like a boogie Ice-T.
Hell yeah, he did get away with saying that shit, didn't he? And then fucking Silky looked like so and so. And he's like, that's the so called beautiful. You know, beautiful on the weekends does gay stunts for Little Richard.
Yes, he does gay stunts for Little Richard. Yes.
And his face, Donnell Rollins.
He was
mad as hell, dude.
Oh, my God. Remember, they were just all hating on each other. They're capping.
Yeah.
And Donnell Rollins' character says something. The women buy him. He was like,
Silky Mink made out of 100% rat ass. Hit me, baby. That, of course, was beautiful talking. Beautiful on the weekends does stunts for Little Richard and gay movies.
Then Silky tells him.
And, of course, the so-called beautiful. Why don't you click your heels together 3 times and go back to Africa?
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, as always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show. After School Special Podcast.
You know, that hard goodness that you get the next day.
Oh, yummy.
From a day-old donut at Dougie's.
After School Special Podcast.
No. That's my childhood right there, motherfucker. When did that come out?
Podcast comes out every Friday.
So, my favorite skit is one that doesn't get talked about much. It's about the white girl who had the big breasts.
Yes.
That was my favorite.
Yes.
from my Masterpiece Theater archives. It's actually dedicated to women who don't appreciate their God-given assets. I tell you, ladies, especially y'all at home watching, appreciate your bodies for what they are, because you never know who might be liking them.
Yeah. And she was talking about all the dudes who were looking at her, and she just didn't like it. And Chappelle plays like this angel-like figure.
It was like the parody of
A Wonderful Life. A Wonderful Life.
Yes.
So he shows her all these skits. And you know what, man? I'm not going to lie. I was younger at this time, so when I saw that, I thought those things were real. Like, that's what I
did too. Yeah, I did too. I looked her up and they're like, nah, that ain't real.
Yeah, I was pretty turnt when I saw that. So, anyway, so when they're going through all her lives, like how she didn't get invited to certain things, and it like everything added up to something, but somehow it led to a nuclear war.
No, no, no. I don't want the world to end just because of my swear puppet.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought. You should have thought about that before you wished them sweet tits away. The world's gonna end in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And Chappelle is sitting there, he's like, man, if I only had a titty to suck right now. Like,
well, no, her wish was to have smaller breasts because she thought her big breast was distracting and getting in the way of her success or having a normal life. So she wished for Dave Chappelle's character to take her big breast away. And then he shows her how much her boobs meant to the world because it saved so many lives. And then at the end, her having no big boobs caused the end of the world, which is hilarious.
That was my favorite sketch. That was so. And like, if you ever notice, every time she shook them, a bell would jingle.
It was just, yes. And then at the end, it turned out she was just on Dave Chappelle's character's PCP trip.
Thanks, mister. You must be an angel or something.
Angel? I ain't no angel. I'm a janitor.
Then how did you show me all those places?
Girl, I am high on PCP. I asked you how you was following me. You smoke sherm? A little sherm?
Now, who are you?
I'm just a nigga that love titties.
Like, I am high on PCP. Like, she was like, well, what about those bells I kept hearing? He's like, oh, these are my janitor keys. So I'm like, oh, hell.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was great writing. That was really good.
Yes.
I like that skit.
Don, I was going to say, what was your favorite?
The Mad Real World.
My favorite TV show for the last few years has been The Real World. Maybe real life is just more interesting than fake life. I don't know what it is. But that show moves me. But the thing that makes me like mad about, not mad, but I just don't like this about The Real World is every few years, they always put a black guy on there and try and make him look crazy. Like, he'll freak out, you know, but it's like, of course he's gonna freak out. You put him around six of the craziest white people you can find and then expect him to live a normal life. They would not like that if we made a show where we put one white guy around six of the craziest black people we could find. What the?
That was the first one.
Yes, dude.
Because see, around that time, I was still watching The Real World. So when I saw the parody of that shit, man, I about lost it. I think I watched that episode so many damn times because they flipped the concept on its head. Because up to that point, The Real World, the cast was basically all white, mostly. You always had like one character that was black. They try to like have some representation. And I think Chappelle was like, yo, I want to flip it on its head where everybody's all black in the cast, except for this one white dude.
This is the true story of six motherfucking strangers
being put in a motherfucking house
and have their motherfucking lives taken. Find out what happens when people start being all polite and start being real.
Mad real.
Mad real, real.
Homophobic.
Right?
Aye.
All right.
And he also got the idea because he said one of his friends who was actually on Real World, he got kicked out. He was like one of the first people to get kicked out of the show because they said he was violent. And if you listen to the DVD commentary on season one, he was like, dude, this guy is like 5'7", scrawny. Who would be threatened by this guy?
Was it the guy in Half Baked that was like with Bob Saget where he was saying, boo this man, boo.
Boo this man.
He was on The Real World, and he was kicked off. So I think that's the friend that he's talking
that
about.
That must have been him.
Remember his name.
But nah, that whole episode, Charlie Murphy stole the show.
My name is Tyree, and yeah, I went to prison.
I'm your roommate, Chad.
Well, looky here, Chad. For the entire period you in my room, I better not catch you standing up peeing. You sit down when you pee, you understand? That's right. Now get your fat ass on out of here, white boy.
Night-night! Keep your butthole tight!
Donna Rollins is hilarious, too. Where they make, the white guy comes in.
And I had sex with Katie, too, man.
Katie has some big-ass titties.
Big ass
titties.
I had sex with Katie, too, man.
Katie has some big-ass titties.
Yes, that's where we get the introduction of Tron.
They call this the Tron special.
Yeah, man, why you want to work so hard? Remember when they all got jobs being at the juice stand or the juice store? Yes.
They gave us a job running the juice bar.
All right, enjoy.
Thanks a lot.
I wasn't really crazy about the way some of the other roommates acted in the juice bar.
All right.
Hey, guys, we're here to work, not play. You know, we can't have this conversation every day.
Hey, okay. What is your problem, man? Why you want to work so hard, huh?
Yeah, man, America want to see us live, not work. Look at me, America. Look how Tron is living for the city.
Man, why you want to work so hard? Damn, like, oh my God. And then, yes, when Chris's or whatever the white man's name was, his dad came over.
And, oh, hell yeah, and he got shanked.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, why are you looking at me? Why are the black people like, why are you looking at us like that?
They doing it. I'll look over here.
Don't look at me. You don't know how to talk to people. Why you gotta be looking at me, white man?
I'm not looking at anyone. It's
like, why? Like what? Like what?
I don't know what I don't know what I'm doing to make you. Yeah.
And Charlie Murphy just came around the corner with the shake, like.
Someone can. Come and stand. Sandra, I've been stabbed. I don't know what I did. You came to the house with six wives. That's what you did.
Shanked his ass, man.
And Tron, oh, shit was, Tron was like, I'm bleeding.
I'm bleeding.
So to kind of end and curtail this in a way for the first part of the Chappelle Show series, the success of season one, the first season of the show was released on DVD in 2004 and quickly became the best-selling television program in that format's history. The first season sold 2 million DVD units, making it the best-selling DVD ever during that time. According to TVinsider.com, Comedy Central had a winning formula in 2004. The show provided the network with its biggest hit since South Park debuted in 1998. Thanks to the comedian, the channel saw its rating increase by 28% that year. Also that year, Chappelle released a second stand-up, Dave Chappelle, For What It's Worth. And that's where we're going to leave it because we get into the second season and kind of the gaslighting by the studio to Dave Chappelle. But that's where we're going to leave it for episode one. And we'll be getting into episode two. I hope you guys enjoy this. But we want to say thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the people that are coming on the lives with us and hanging out. You can find After School Special Podcast at After School Special Podcast on Instagram. After School Special Podcast 3
on TikTok. Yes.
TikTok. After School SPE3 on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then email us at afterschoolspecialpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you're liking the show. Like, subscribe. Do all that good stuff for us, babies. Latchkey kids, broken homies. And then also you can go on Latchkey Kids Speak on speakpipe.com and leave us a voicemail. If there's something that you want to hear about, something in your past that maybe we have not spoken on and we could do a deep dive for you, to kind of bring that nostalgia back out, bring that past and turn it on its head and make fun of it. Because that's what we do here at After School Special Podcast. We make fun, but we are also history tellers. Yeah, we're kind of a history podcast. Some people say nostalgia, but I think we're digging deep.
We're qualified.
Into the history.
Yeah, so, this is qualified. Yeah.
So let us know how we're doing. Hang out with us. We're live on Fridays. Usually we get on there around 6:30. So I think that's where we're going to kind of leave it, is 6:30 for the lives. We'll be on TikToks. We're going to put more content out there for you guys. So stick with us. See you later, Latchkey Kids, Broken Homies. We love you so much.
Come rich, bitch!
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Sure, it's cool that I say it. Negro Damas.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
phew, you're safe.
Oh, I'm sweating.